So one sees here, in this episode, the Buddha's, as it were, spirit of gratitude. He felt grateful to his old teachers, even though he had had to leave them and find out the truth for himself. He felt grateful to those five pupils, those five ascetics, even though they had deserted him in the end. They had been serviceable for a time. So he wanted to repay them, as it were. He wanted to share with them the great truth that he had now discovered. So we see that even in the Buddha, after his enlightenment, there was this great spirit of gratitude to those who had helped him in the earlier stages, in the earlier phases of his career. And there are other accounts which emphasize this still more. We are told, in fact, that the Buddha, after his enlightenment, was grateful even to the tree underneath which he had sat when he gained enlightenment. And we are told in one account that after the enlightenment, he stood a certain distance from the tree and he looked at it. He looked at it for hours and hours together, and he saluted it, saying, as it were, "At the foot of this tree I gained enlightenment. This tree sheltered me. This tree shaded me. I am grateful to this tree. I pay respect to this tree." So this was the Buddha's spirit of gratitude, even after his enlightenment. So having decided to teach these five ascetics, having come to understand within his own mind where they were, at the end of the seventh week after the enlightenment, the Buddha left Bodhgaya. He set out for the place where the five ascetics were now living. And he'd come to understand, spontaneously as it were, intuitively, by means of his higher supernormal vision, that they were living at a place called Saranath, which is near Benares, some 7 or 8 miles out of Benares. And they were living there in a beautiful deer park, where deer could live without fear of being hunted, which was a sort of sanctuary for the deer. And this place, Saranath, near Benares, was about 100 miles from Bodhgaya, a distance, that is to say, of about a week's journey. So the Buddha set out. He had one or two experiences, not to say adventures, on the way, but we're not concerned with those today. It took him just a week to get to Saranath, to the deer park, so that he arrived there exactly 2 months after his enlightenment. So as he entered the deer park, the five ascetics who had been his disciples, his pupils earlier on, some years previously, saw him coming. And they started talking, not to say murmuring, among themselves. And one of them said, "Here comes that fellow Gotama, whom we used to have so much faith and trust in." You know, the one who gave up asceticism, the one who went back to the easy life of the world, who actually started taking solid food, who betrayed the path of asceticism. All right, let him come if he wants to. We shan't show him any respect at all, not to a fellow like that. So the Buddha approached nearer and nearer. But as the Buddha approached, strange to say, they were unable to keep to their resolution. It was as though some strange force compelled them to rise to their feet and salute him and take his bowl and take his spare robe and offer him a seat. Because even though they disapproved of him and thought he was just a runaway ascetic, there was something about him. There was something strange, something they'd never seen before. And they could not help being affected, being influenced by that. So after the preliminary greetings were over, the Buddha, without wasting any time, coming straight to the point, said, "I've found the truth. I know the truth. I'm now enlightened. Let me teach you. Let me share with you the truth that I have discovered." But they wouldn't believe him. They said, "Even when you were practicing all those austerities and all that self-torture, self-mortification, you couldn't gain enlightenment. Do you think you've gained it by following an easy course of life? They apparently thought that meditation was an easy course of life. So they would not listen, but the Buddha persisted. He reasoned with them, he argued with them, and in the end he succeeded in persuading them, at least to listen to what he had to say. And then he taught them. He taught them. And he taught them all through the rainy season. The rains had just begun, so he taught them for the 2, 3, 4 months of the rainy season. They sat together, they talked, they discussed, they meditated, and by the end of the rainy season, all five, too, had gained enlightenment, had become new men. Now, the day on which the Buddha arrived in Sarnath at the deer park and started teaching the five ascetics was, of course, being 2 months exactly after the Vaishaka Purnima day, a full moon day. The second full moon day after the day on which the Buddha gained enlightenment. And this full moon day, the second full moon day, after the full moon day on which the Buddha gained enlightenment, the full moon day on which he started teaching, is known as Ashadha Purnima. That is to say, the full moon day of the lunar month Ashadha, corresponding to our June to July. And it's this day which we're celebrating this evening. This is Dharma Chakra Day, or Dharma Chakra Pravartana Day, the anniversary of the Buddha's first turning of the wheel of the Dharma. His first proclamation, at least his first full proclamation of the truth to human beings. The first showing of the way, the path to enlightenment. Now the Buddha taught the five ascetics. He taught them month after month, all through the rainy season. But it so happens we don't know what he taught them. We don't know exactly what it was he said. We're told simply he discoursed with them. And the oldest accounts leave it at that. It's as though it was a profound mystery, a secret. And we went into the significance of this, some of you may remember, last year. At a later date, it was sometimes said that the Buddha taught the five ascetics, the four noble truths, and the noble eightfold path. Well, he may have done, but we don't know definitely. That's just a much later tradition. Perhaps just an attempt to fill in the blank. Sometimes people don't like to leave a blank. They don't like any mystery, any secret, anything not known. So they fill it in with something or other, and this is what they seem to have done here. But personally, I prefer to leave this particular blank empty. Anyway, after the five ascetics had gained enlightenment, having heard whatever the Buddha had to say, having intuitively perceived the truth of it, the Buddha, of course, didn't stop there. He continued teaching. He taught for a very long time. He taught all sorts of people, hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people from all walks of life, up and down the length and breadth of northeastern India in that 6th century BC, one of the most wonderful centuries in human history. And he taught for 45 years, from the age of 35, when he gained enlightenment, to the age of 80, when he passed away, or as we say, gained parinirvana. And he taught, according to the records, even on his deathbed, even when he was about to pass away. There was just one last person who wanted to see him, to speak with him. And Ananda, the Buddha's attendant and disciple, said to him, "What is this? The Buddha's dying. This is not the time to come and speak to him." But the Buddha heard this from inside, and he said to Ananda, "Don't stop him. Let him come in. I know that he will perceive the truth very quickly, even if I speak only a few words." So in he came. The Buddha taught him very briefly, and he was the last to be personally, as it were, converted by the Buddha.